live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Alex Elbrow.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
The coronavirus pandemic has forced many of us to come face to face with death in ways that we'd never imagined, and we're having different kinds of conversation than we did before. Dr. Laura Davies and Patrick Morris have been working on a really interesting project, A Good Death, and I spoke to them yesterday all about it. I'm really pleased to welcome Dr. Laura Davies from the Faculty of English at the University of Cambridge and Patrick Morris, the co-artistic director of Menagerie Theatre Company, who've been working on an interdisciplinary project called A Good Death. Now, you've created these three original audio plays to help us all think about the new reality. But before you tell us more about these plays, could you give us an idea of your backgrounds and how you got involved in the project?
Sure. So, as you've said, I work in the Faculty of English and I'm a member of King's College. And since 2018, we've been running a project designed to open up new conversations around death and dying. So we began with a conference and then we've been running workshops and developing resources for the general public, but also for people who work in fields related to death. So bereavement counsellors, palliative care workers, etc. So this was part of an ongoing and existing piece of work. But then last year, we were asked to contribute to an exhibition at the Museum of Archaeology and Anthropology. They were going to be running an exhibition called Near Death, involving some various works of art relating to that topic. And through various points of contact, Patrick and I had decided that we would collaborate to create a live performance to take place in that space. Lockdown has meant, of course, that exhibition has not run and that we can't do live work at the moment. So we took a side turn. Patrick, do you want to explain a little bit about the plays?
Sure. So following on from the decision not to do the theatre performance because the museum had to shut, we decided that we'd create some audio monologues. It seemed perhaps the most effective way forward. And they weren't really designed to respond to COVID in any way. They were really just responding to the conversations that we had and particularly thinking about the research that Laura does around death, and particularly around one of the pieces that was going to be shown at this exhibition, which was a painting currently in the Fitzwilliam Museum called Extreme Unction by Nicolas Poussin. And one of the pieces is, I suppose, inspired by thinking about that painting.
And so what was the remit of this actual project then, and how did you get people involved? Because I believe, Patrick, you wrote the pieces. So how did
That's
you go
correct.
About actually writing them?
So yes, so I wrote the three monologues, and they're very different. The only thing that really connects them is the theme, really, the theme of death. And the idea of not focusing on death itself, but focusing on perhaps mortality, perhaps endings, perhaps kind of trying to think around the theme a little bit more rather than focusing absolutely directly on it. So the three pieces came from very different sources. The first came very directly, really, from some of Laura's research, which I'd read and imbibed and filtered, I suppose, and thinking around the language of grief in particular, how a language of grief has emerged and how that helps some people and how that doesn't help some people. And then a second piece, I suppose, came more from my own experience around death. And then, like I said, the third piece came from thinking about this painting, Extreme Unction, which is a 17th century painting. Am I right, Laura?
I think it's from, is it 1638?
16, yeah, so that's, there you go, that's 1700s.
Yeah, well,
that's the 17th century. And it's one of a set where a man is being shown, given the extreme unction from a priest with various characters, including his mother, his wife, his daughter, and other mourning characters around him. It's a very theatrical moment where he is near death, this man.
These things take on a new perspective under the COVID conditions, right? So when we're thinking about deathbed scenes, some of the conversations that we had were, how are people handling it now when you can't be by a loved one's side? What would it be like to be at a deathbed on Zoom? How do we understand this idea of final goodbyes if they have to be done remotely? So the play doesn't explicitly discuss that, but it's been informed by these conversations we've had about the world as it is now.
So you had these conversations during lockdown once you decided you weren't doing the live play, is that correct? And who did you speak to?
So we decided that actually audio format would be a way for us to speak kind of intimately to our listeners. So there's something about hearing somebody else talk and you can hear them in your headphones or in your house. So we decided to make a virtue of the lockdown conditions, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Also, this question of how we're feeling distanced from one another is kind of worked into the feel of the plays itself. Patrick Bitt was responsible for recruiting the two wonderful actors who voice the first two dramas. Patrick, how did you choose those actors?
I've worked with them both before and just needed people who I knew would be good at voice work. It's difficult right now to actually get people together to do live theatre work. It's not impossible, but it's very, very difficult. And it means you don't have to learn the piece. You can read it as you're recording it. So as Laura said, there are virtues to this. And there's something about the disembodied voice, which I think is kind of interesting when you're asking people to ponder mortality and life and death in a more reflective fashion rather than in a very direct fashion.
I was just speaking to Laura beforehand saying that it might be that we think of death as a quite an awkward subject to talk about, and obviously the current situation I think has brought it all to the forefront much more than we would normally be even speaking about it. But Laura also mentioned that, you know, there's a rise in sort of death cafes and all sorts of ways that people can express themselves, and I think it is becoming less of a taboo and more of a thing that people feel more comfortable to talk about, perhaps. I don't know.
It varies, doesn't it, from person to person. On the one hand, this pandemic has made death just immediately proximate, right there in front of us, that we can't avoid it, and is therefore forcing us to have kinds of conversations we wouldn't have done otherwise. On the other hand, though, there's something about the intensity of this time and the fact that you can't avoid the topic that means that people, in some ways, they're kind of reacting to the situation, and that might not be the way to think reflectively and calmly and deeply about your thoughts and attitudes about death. For some people it might be possible, but for others it's anxiety inducing. They may be struggling with bereavement already or with health conditions. We're trying to find a way to allow people to give a space, I suppose, where you're encouraged to think and to empathize with other points of view in a way that isn't kind of stress inducing.
Yeah, which is always the way arts has always been used. I mean, it's always a way to explore ideas, isn't it? So I think this sounds like a perfect way to sort of confront things that maybe you don't want to bring out to yourself or even to people you're talking to. So, and where can people find these plays? And also, who else are you sharing them with? Because I believe you're sharing with some other charities, aren't you?
So the plays are available for free on the website of our Good Death Project. So you can find that at good-death.english.cam.ac.uk, or just Google Good Death English Cambridge and you'll find it. You can see all three of them there, along with videos, interviews with Patrick, the writer, and with the two actors who voiced the first two monologues. You can probably also link to it via our Twitter or Menagerie's Twitter. We're at @what_death.
And you were saying about who else you're sharing it with, because you're working with other projects, aren't you?
Yeah, so we've already been working with two local organisations, so with Crewe's Bereavement Care, their volunteer counsellors, and also with Arthur Rank Hospice. So we have shared the plays with the contacts we already have with those organisations and were actively seeking their feedback and their input to see what they make of them, how they might be helpful in order to kind of improve training or to provide support resources for people in those roles, and also just to give us their expertise, right, and their perspective on how these issues play out at the coalface, yeah, as it were.
That's absolutely brilliant. And this project will continue, won't it? And you'll be doing, I presume at some point, hopefully doing some live things.
We certainly hope so. That was the intention. That was really what brought Laura and I together, and that this thought of creating this space for reflection and for imagination as well, which is really what we're about, is really important to us. And to be able to do that live with an audience, perhaps still in collaboration with the museum, you know, would be a really exciting prospect. And so we are kind of actively thinking about how to move this forward from here, and that these short monologues are really just the start. And as Laura said, it'll be interesting what we get from the organizations who they've been shared with, and think that we could, you know, work with the monologues themselves and change them and adapt them to be even more effective.
That sounds really interesting and something I think we could all benefit from. So good luck with the projects, and good luck with all your projects coming on. And do let me know if there's anything coming in the future again, and we'd love to hear about those too.
We will do. Thank you.
Thank you. Cambridge 105 Radio.